as we skimmed the depths of the great banks. I could see perfectly those long fishing lines, each armed with 200 hooks that every boat dangled by the dozens. The lower end of each line dragged the bottom by means of a small grappling iron, and at the surface it was secured to a buoy rope of a cork float. The Nautilus had to maneuver shrewdly in the midst of this underwater spiderweb. But the ship didn't stay long in these heavily traveled waters. It went up to about latitude 42 degrees. This brought it abreast of St. John's in Newfoundland, and Hart's Continent, where the Atlantic cable reaches its end point. Instead of continuing north, the Nautilus took an easterly heading, as if to go along this plateau on which the telegraph cable rests, where multiple soundings have given the contours of the terrain with the utmost accuracy. It was on May 17th, about 500 miles from Hart's Continent, and about 2,800 meters down, that I spotted this cable lying on the sea floor. Consul, whom I hadn't alerted, mistook it at first for a gigantic sea snake, and was gearing up to classify it in his best manner. But I enlightened him, the fine lad, and led him down gently by giving him various details on the laying of this cable.